You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, write an essay, pay an entry fee, win a house. Sound like a good plan? Maybe not. You'll hear from someone who should know. Say goodbye to California in the movies this weekend. Manny the Movie Guy reviews San Andreas and more. And the best example we found yet that proves hippies love taxes. Let's meet the friends. Playing the role of Aaron Myers today is Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Thank you. Do I look nice?
Are you wearing your yoga pants?
Yes. Always.
Lovely. Hey, when you pick up the phone, you better hope it's him. It's Chris Martin.
The FCC has decided to take a break from ruining the lives of radio broadcasters to focus on something we can all agree on.
And if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments. And that must be a boring job. Just the same, they notice your five-star reviews, and it helps us. So thanks again for doing that. Let's get started. And Greg, thank you so much for being here.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Phil. I don't care what you did over Memorial Day weekend, how awesome it was. I don't care how amazing you think your I got so drunk I story is.
Yeah.
I have found a guy that can beat it.
Really?
Better be a good one.
It's pretty good. A guy in Massachusetts decided to get liquored up, I guess, over the weekend. And he thought the best thing that he could do in that condition was to take his brand new fishing boat out and do a little fishing, right?
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
A little drinking and fishing? Sure, makes some sense. Here's where he went wrong. While he was out there, he managed to catch no less than 122 black sea bass.
Whoa!
Nice haul.
A nice haul, right? Everybody's like,
that's
high five.
Big fishing boat.
Exactly. Well done, my friend. Problem is, just 8 bass are allowed to be caught in this particular canal.
Oh, that's the limit.
It's a limit because they're worried about, strangely enough, overfishing.
And when he bought his fishing license, he agreed to that limit, right?
Except for the thing where he didn't have a fishing license.
Oh.
And also his motorboat was not registered and was displaying incorrect registration information.
Yikes.
And also he was over the legal limit for operating a fishing vessel at the time. So things went poorly for him. However,
over the alcohol limit, is that what you mean?
Over the alcohol limit, yeah, yeah. I don't know what the, DUI limit is for driving a boat, but
twice as much as a car, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
The rule of thumb. The fish, however, were donated to charity, so.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't he just use the excuse, "Hey, officer, I was just caught 8 20 limits."
Yeah, right. 20 limits.
My friends were on the boat, and they're not here now.
In the meantime, the black sea bass has entered the endangered species list.
Right. Clearly, yeah, they have now left the planet. There are none left thanks to that guy.
Yes. Now, you, Greg, have a great example of our tax dollars hard at work, don't you?
I think I am so excited about this because we complain so much about the Department of Defense and the ridiculous things they spend money on. You know, we always hear about the B-1 bomber with the $11 billion windshield wiper or, right. The stuff like that, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I was so excited to hear that the DOD has finally decided to spend more than $4 million on something worthwhile. And that would be fun and entertainment at casinos and strip clubs.
Oh, really?
$4 million.
What period of time?
This was, I think, over the last year. Yeah, during a one-year period, the agency charged $20 million in transactions for $3.4 billion on government credit cards. So here's the deal: the U.S. Air Force is the biggest offender, apparently.
Yeah.
The Air Force seems to have the best time. The Air Force charged more than $400,000 in personal expenses at casinos and $40,000 at strip clubs.
Hmm.
Army comes in second with $350,000 at casinos.
Yep.
And $35,000 at adult entertainment establishments.
Wow.
Here's one example. Senior airman at North Carolina Air Force Base traveled to beautiful Las Vegas. Made 3 charges totaling $4,686 with his government credit card.
Nice.
At at Sapphire's Gentleman Club.
Well, $4,000 at the club. That's at the club. That's a VIP treatment right there, isn't it?
And I know what most people are asking at this point.
Why aren't the Marines at the top of the list?
Well, I was going to say, what are you doing at Sapphire's? Why don't you go to a decent club?
You would know better, wouldn't you? Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? If you walk into a casino with a card and you go up to the counter and you get one of those markers with your card, right? And what do you do? Where do you take the marker, your chips or whatever? Do you put them all on red at the roulette wheel? You know, just kind of let it ride. Hey, it's not my money. These are American tax dollars.
Exactly.
Let's see if I can double this. And then you let it ride two or three times until you get that $4,000 up to about $20,000.
And then you pay all the money back and you're in the good?
Exactly. That's okay. See, if you had good intentions in the first place, we might be able to forgive you, especially for that $4,000 in the VIP room at Sapphire's.
Exactly.
Well, they had good intentions. You know, you have to have some good rest and relaxation if you're going to perform at a peak level at your job. So I'm for it.
USA!
Yes, thank you. Thank
USA!
You for supporting me, Greg.
USA!
All right. Now, from that, we go to another division of our U.S. government, the Federal Communications Commission. And they're all powerful over there. They can pretty much do whatever they want, and nobody stops them because they control our telephones.
Yeah, they're a monopoly. Well, and our televisions and our radios. So
yeah.
They have their hands in on all of
you
it.
You know, you're not supposed to say anything profane on your phone.
No, I didn't know that.
It's in the agreement, when you pull out the little box, there's that little piece of paper in there, and there's an FCC compliance statement that you agree to in opening up the box and operating that piece of equipment, that you will not use profanity on your phone.
Well, in that case, we should all be in jail, Phil.
We should be.
Well, no. Fiddlesticks.
Just think of how crowded the jails would be.
Well, the FCC is now focusing all of its efforts on ending robocalls forever.
How in the world can they do that?
Well,
the do not call list didn't work.
Yeah, do you guys know you know what robocalls are? Greg, you want to try to explain to us what a robocall is?
Well, that's basically when you're sitting there usually doing something you're enjoying, that the phone rings and a recording calls you up and goes, "Hello, we'd like to ask you about blah."
Right. Usually you're right in the middle of dinner or
right.
Yeah, some fun event. Well, let's see. What the government, the FCC, plans to do is close loopholes on current anti-robocall/spam texting rules and heavily encourage wireless carriers to join the fight.
Now that's going to work.
Yes. Well, now here's the main goal. What apparently there's a bunch of confusing language in the laws that allow phone carriers to offer robocall blocking technology, and they're going to clean that up. The wireless carriers and phone carriers were like, look, we thought if we did this, we might be in trouble based on the ways the laws are written. And so they're going to clean that up. Phil, you mentioned the Do Not Call registry.
Yeah.
There are 20 million people on the federal Do Not Call registry, which apparently spammers and scammers haven't read that list yet.
No.
See, I'm totally bummed about this because I've just gone ahead and developed a new system that automatically does crank calls.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, it's like robo crank calling. It just calls
that.
You up automatically and goes, is your refrigerator running? Or also, there's the other one. There's the, what are you wearing? Robo dialer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I love that.
Automatically. So I don't have to do the dialing. It just calls automatically and finds out what people are wearing.
I haven't tried that yet to get back at the robocallers, but I have found that when somebody robocalls and it's an actual human being that picks up the phone, after you say, hello, and there's that awkward silence for 3 seconds.
Right.
And then they say, can I speak to Mr. Philip Hulit? Yes, that's me. Who's this? This is Rodney, you know, some made-up name. So rather than getting mad at Rodney, he's just a middleman. He's working for somebody else. You listen to him for a second. You say, I missed the name of the company, Rodney. What was it again? And then he tells you the name. You jot it down. You say, Rodney, do me a favor. Yeah, what's that, Mr. Hulit? would you please just put my number on your do not call list? And he says, oh, okay. And then you make a note on your little list there. You've got the name of the company and a compliance statement from Rodney on behalf of the company that they will put you on their do not call list. Now, give it 48 hours. And if they call you again after 48 hours, then you could send their name to the authorities and you could perhaps get a fine kicked back to you. They'd have to pay the fine.
Does that actually get kicked back to you? I was just talking about this to somebody the other day.
You can get like $1,000 to $2,000 off of each one of these.
You actually get money?
Yes.
You know, you are so thorough and patient, Phil, because I would have just said, Rodney, do you have a wall next to you? And when he said yes, I would have said, now run full bore, head down into it, give yourself a concussion, and never call me again.
Yeah, see, I've tried that.
That one doesn't work?
And what that tells them, essentially, is, oh, you're busy right now? We'll call you again tomorrow.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I just use the awkward 3 seconds to hang up, you know, when you know it's what's coming. Like, no, okay, bye.
Yeah, all right, goodbye. Oh, yeah. Now, speaking of people that we love, you know, there's robocallers.
Sure.
We also love Lindsay Lohan.
Who doesn't?
And there's big, exciting news. A fresh start for her, and perhaps for you. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Seems like a lot of celebrity news today here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. In just 2 weeks, Lindsay Lohan, you know who she is, she will have worked off the, or she has now, in less than 2 weeks, worked off 115 hours of community service that she was ordered to finish by today. So that means her probation will be lifted at a hearing today, and it'll be the first time Lilo hasn't been on probation for something in 7 years, something like that, for something. She's been in trouble for so many different things. So what could possibly go wrong? Do you think, what are the bets? Is Lindsay going to get back on in trouble with the law, or is she going to stay on the straight and narrow?
You know, I'm a optimist, Phil, and so I'm going to side on the fact that she's going to stay on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. She's going to do Parent Trap 2.
Yeah.
Everything's going to turn around for her.
Oh, that would be awesome.
We need her to still be interesting, though. I mean, you know, we don't have drunk Tara Reid anymore.
No.
You know, she was so fun for so long.
Yep.
Yeah.
Remember when Tracy Morgan got hit by a Walmart truck?
I do.
And he nearly died, and a passenger with him, another comedian, did in fact die. Well, Tracy has settled his lawsuit with Walmart over that. It happened last summer. No word on how much Walmart has paid Tracy, but a quote from Tracy Morgan says, Walmart did right by me and my family.
That means it's a lot of money because Tracy Morgan was not broke.
Yeah. All right. One more celebrity tidbit. Bruce Jenner is trying to dismiss or get the wrongful death lawsuit filed against him dismissed. That was over that fatal accident he was involved in on the PCH in Malibu when he was not paying attention. He was driving that that big old black SUV with a trailer on the back and following a little too close and maybe looking at his phone. Who knows? Wasn't looking at the car in front of him when it slammed on its brakes.
Yeah, it feels like that story was sort of swept under the rug around all the drama of his other story that he's
The two stepchildren of the 69-year-old woman who died in that accident filed the suit, and Bruce is trying to get it dismissed.
Well, that's typical legal posturing anyway. I mean, you would try to get it dismissed. It probably won't be, but you have to take that action.
And now I believe this is officially 5 Phil Hewlett and Friends shows in a row that we've mentioned Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So let's change topics completely, and let's Google it. And when we do, we find that there's a bunch of pointy-headed Google types at a developers conference, and the folks over at Google want to be all things for all people, so they're constantly developing things to make our lives better. And in doing so, when we agree to improving our lives with Google products, we hand more and more of our private lives over to Google. Isn't that right, Greg?
Including apparently all of our photographs now. Yeah, this is interesting. Today is the developers conference for Google. And they announced a bunch of stuff. One of the things they did announce was that you will now be able to get HBO Now through the Google Play Store for a range of Android devices, including Chromecast and so forth.
Oh, nice.
It's been available on Apple TV and iOS for a while, but now they've sealed the deal now with Google as well. So that's evened out. But yeah, the one thing that caught my eye today was Google Photos, which is a new app they'll be introducing with unlimited storage for your photos and videos.
Oh, that's good, because I have unlimited photos.
Right, exactly. Don't we have, you have so many selfies, Phil.
Yes.
You're posting them all the time. Unlimited and for free.
What? Well, see, I'll tell you why this is awesome, and I'll tell you why it's awesome. Because the phones, the way they're going, I mean, iPhones have been this way for a while, but the Android phones, the popular ones, you know, like the Samsung, are going this way as well. The newer versions, you can't put your own little mini memory thing in there.
Yeah, SD chip.
Yeah, there you go. It comes with its onboard memory, and that's it. You can't stick additional memory in it. iPhones have already been like that. Now the latest versions of the Galaxy phones are going to be like that as well. And so if you're the kind of person who takes, you know, 1,000 photos a week, and goes for the full high quality of every photo, that fills up your hard drive on the phone in a hurry.
Well, I have lots of pictures of my lunch to take. This is important.
Exactly.
You need to see this.
Yes,
so,
right.
But now, yeah, the resolution will be capped at 16 megapixels or 1080p if you're doing video.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to support 4K video, at least not yet.
Yeah.
That's not an option.
You knew there had to be restrictions on this unlimited storage space. There was no way they were offering unlimited
storage. Now, let's maybe this is a question for our tech guy Jeremy Antecuni when he comes on a little later, because he probably knows the definition of free is always suspect.
Exactly.
Now if our photos are up in the app, up on the cloud somewhere, does Google lay claim to those photos in one sense or another? Because you can search for items, and if there's a photo that matches, that can tell people what that item is. If you've got something in your hand, you say, what is this? You take a photo of it and put it in the Google engine, and then it matches it with something else that has more information. They say, hey, that's this, because we know, because we've got that unlimited photo thing going on with so many people.
Well, yeah, it's giving them the opportunity to say, because the computers are getting better at recognizing what things are from photographs.
Right, yeah.
You know, facial recognition for one, but just in terms of what things are as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that we can confirm, we being Google, that yes, indeed, what you have is genital herpes.
Exactly.
Because of all these photos this gal over here is
your
been
wiener
saving,
that's,
right,
on
yeah.
Google.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was really hoping it was just a rash.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so from Google, we go to Apple, Chris, and my goodness, if you have a thing for people who have an iPhone, this is your day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pranksters everywhere unite. I'd love to get Jeremy's opinion on this one, too. A new exploit in the Apple iPhone messaging software has been discovered, and here's how it works. If you send a text to any iPhone user with a specific group of words and characters, it will crash their phone for at least 15 seconds every single time you do it.
Wow.
And sometimes it will just crash the phone completely, right. Makes it almost impossible to reboot it and turn it back on.
Great. Now, what is it? What is
okay,
it
here, I'm gonna give this to you. This is very dangerous, but everybody pay attention.
Okay,
it is a combination of two English words, a string of Arabic characters, and one Japanese character. It goes like this. The word effective, effective,
yes.
Period.
Period.
The word power.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of crooked letter J's with a line through them.
Yes.
Four circles with mustaches, and what looks to be an old-fashioned telephone. This will shut down an iPhone every single time you send the message.
No kidding.
Absolutely. I would not lie to you.
Where's the Japanese and the Arabic?
I just told you.
Oh, that's the mustaches and the J's.
Yes, the crooked J's with the... Come on, I don't know Arabic characters. It locks down messaging. Now, here's the other interesting part about it. It locks down your messaging until you receive a new message in that conversation. So if you have a really ruthless monster for a friend that sends you the message in a group conversation or in a one-on-one conversation and then refuses to send another one, your phone just will not turn back on.
Great, great.
Oh.
That's fantastic.
You know, Apple's already hard at work on this.
You know, there's a famous Arabic character you should all know. Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, there you go.
Sure. And that kid, that street rat kid from the Aladdin cartoon. He was an Arabic character too, wasn't he?
Prince Ali.
You know what? I thought I got through all the celebrity stuff, but here's one worth discussing. After all these years, OK Magazine has uncovered the truth, apparently, behind Taylor Swift's inability to keep a man.
All right. I'm interested.
She won't put out.
How do we know this?
The so-called source says Taylor's not ready to have sex, so guys keep getting frustrated and moving on, and then she writes a hit song about them and gets richer and richer and sexier. But things might be different with her current boyfriend, Scottish DJ Calvin Harris, because the source says she was upfront with him about her, quote, need to take things slowly, and he's the first guy who's willing to wait.
Yeah. And this is in OK Magazine?
OK Magazine.
It's like, how is your magazine? Is your magazine great? No? No, it's OK.
It's just OK.
It's OK Magazine.
If I were to put money on it, I would bet that Taylor Swift is not a virgin and that this won't be her first relationship engaging in that type of behavior.
OK. And David Letterman's final episode?
Yeah.
It beat all of last week's season finales in the ratings. It beat Dancing with the Stars. It beat Dancing with the Stars. There's two of them. It beat The Voice and The Voice. It beat the finale of Survivor, the season finale of NCIS Los Angeles and NCIS and Big Bang Theory and another Voice and Mike and Molly. Beat all of those.
Wow. They just took the sign off the Ed Sullivan Theater today.
I saw that.
Oh, that is sad.
End of an era.
It is. I miss David Letterman.
I know. I got nothing to watch anymore.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, we find out what's shaking at the box office with Manny the Movie Guy next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Just checking out Lindsay Lohan's Twitter, on the Twitter, and she says, hard work pays off thanks to all those who allowed me to volunteer while in NYC. God bless you. And I'm very grateful to those at Brooklyn Community Services, Duffield, and the Ali Forney Center for welcoming me into their services and allowing me to finish my court-ordered community service hours. Clean slate, fresh start, she says.
And that's followed by, and I love my new L'Oreal facial cream.
Exactly.
Give it a try.
She's making $1 million every couple of tweets.
And also party, woo!
Yeah!
Party!
Yeah. Gosh, it can't wait, huh? Anyway, let's move on. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the reason a city with a population of only 48,000 has an international airport. The most visited movie reviewer on television from KMIR-TV, Palm Springs, it's Manny the Movie Guy.
Hello, everyone. That's right. Come visit me in Palm Springs and suffer with the heat.
Yo, how hot is it out there? Is it 130 yet?
Yes, and now we've entered. Last week it was fantastic. It was like in the 80s. Now, today, it's like 105.
Well, 105. You can get on that tram and go up to the mountain where there's probably a couple inches of
it's
snow up there.
It's 30 degrees cooler up there, according to them.
There you go. Hey, let's talk some movies, Manny. The big one, and I'd like to say what's shaking at the movies, but I know San Andreas is a movie about California essentially falling into the Pacific Ocean. Isn't that right?
That's right. The big one is coming, at least according to San Andreas. It's a disaster film that knows exactly what it is. Our hero in the movie, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, promises that audience will love it, and he's absolutely right. San Andreas is a crowd pleaser that knows how to deliver the thrills, but here's why. It proudly wears the disaster movie badge. The film follows a tried and true disaster formula, complete with cliched characters. There's Johnson's rescue pilot who's on the verge of divorce from his wife, played by Carla Gugino. There's the daughter, Blake, played by the appealing Alexandra Daddario. And what's a disaster movie without a TV reporter and the scientist who pretty much knows everything? That scientist is played by Paul Giamatti. He stars as a Caltech professor who has found a way to predict earthquakes.
Oh.
And you're right, though. The plot is really simple. There is a massive earthquake that hits California. Now our hero pilot, together with his soon-to-be ex-wife, must make a dangerous journey to rescue their daughter. Now, this movie is a little bit long. It's exactly at 2 hours and a few minutes. I mean, it's a bit long for a disaster film. It's not quite trying to be Titanic disaster, though. You know, it's not 3 hours for, but at least Titanic was able to capture the characters and develop the characters and the plot and, you know, everything.
You know, Manny, I might pay good money, though, to see some of the CGI effects, you know, like the giant wave and the cruise ship coming toward the building and all that stuff.
It's true. This one, director Brad Peyton, who teamed up with Johnson before for Journey to the Center of the Earth, the director is aided with eye-popping special effects and a commendable cast. It delivers a passable 3D film that will entertain audiences even with its half-hearted script and poor character development. But simply put, though, its flaws didn't quite have me quaking in my boots.
Yeah, all right. Well, character development, smear development.
If you don't live in L.A., do you care? Yeah. Does it even matter to you? If you're sitting there in Idaho, do you really care if L.A. drops into the ocean?
To cover their booties, according to the movie, it could also happen in the East Coast.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, right. Of course.
I smell a sequel.
Really bummed about the movie, though, is that, you know, here in my home, Coachella Valley, this is the beginning of the San Andreas Fault Line by the Salton Sea.
Yeah.
And there's no mention of Palm Springs. I kind of want to see Palm Springs kind of crumble to the ground.
Yeah, why not? You know, and all you have to do is head a little east and you'll be on a beachfront property.
Yeah.
That's right?
Yeah.
No more desert.
No, exactly. Hey, you know what? We could all go to Hawaii and forget about it and just wait for a tidal wave or one of those volcanoes to explode. But they've gathered together a pretty impressive crew of some of the best actors out there in this movie, so it's got to be slam dunk, just wonderful. Tell us about Aloha.
That's right. It's called Aloha. It stars Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Danny McBride, John Krasinski, Bill Murray, and Alec Baldwin.
How could they go wrong with a cast like that?
That's right, but I am so sorry to tell you that Columbia Pictures did not screen this to critics in advance. Most of the critics who had seen this have all seen it from the Toronto International Film Festival last year.
And Manny, what did you teach us that it means when the film studios won't let critics review it?
Right.
Uh-huh.
They are trying, the studio, Columbia Pictures, is trying to hide something from the critics, mind you. And why is that? I mean, this is, after all, from the great, great Cameron Crowe, the writer-director who gave us fantastic films like Almost Famous, Jerry Maguire, Say Anything, among others. But alas, the film is trumped by controversies instead. You may have heard that the Media Action Network for Asian Americans complained, saying that, and I quote, "Caucasians only make up 30% of the population of Hawaii, but from watching this film, you'd think they made up 99%. The complaints that the film has received.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's not a bad complaint. However, it's not a depiction of real life. Is that what the studio said? This is a fantasy. These are characters in a movie, a made-up story. So go away, you
that's
complaining
right.
people. Is that what they said?
That's what Sony Pictures said. And they said, you know, if they had read the script, they would understand. But, you know, I doubt that the script would be, the feeling of the tone of the script would be seen in the film, especially if they're trying to hide it from critics.
The only scripts I ever read are the ones I wrote last week.
Oh, you wrote some scripts.
Of course. I live in Los Angeles.
Sound like Steven Seagal.
Right. Everyone's a script writer there and an actor.
Yes. I'm acting right now.
That's right. We're performing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I heard there's a pay-per-view movie out there that is really, really good. It's called Survivor.
It's a movie out on demand, yep, that's right. It stars Pierce Brosnan and the queen of B-movies lately, Mila Jovovich. Ooh. She plays a foreign service officer who must evade government capture. Why? Because she's believed to be behind a recent terrorist bombing. But in order to clear her name, she must escape a hired assassin played by Brosnan. He's known as the Watchmaker. Now, this one is directed by James McTeague, the guy who gave us the much better V for Vendetta. Survivor is one of those bad movies we almost love. Survivor is like a hodgepodge of The Fugitive, The Bourne Identity, North by Northwest. But what it really wants to be is Taken. This film has an uneven tone and a bad script with some unintentionally funny lines, and it's heartbreaking because this one is a great cast. Heck, even Angela Bassett steps in as a U.S. ambassador.
Wow.
It's a good thing, though, that this movie is only released on demand. You'll save money that way.
Yeah, good. Then you don't have to demand it at all.
Or, yeah, that's right. You can just avoid it.
I do demand that you visit the website ManyTheMovieGuy.com. and cruise around and take a look at all the things that Manny has collected there, including some wonderful video interviews with movie stars you love.
That's right.
And you'll love them even more after you see how they interact with Manny. It's just a wonderful thing. And we love talking with you, and we'll do so again next week, I hope.
Thank you. That's right. Next week, it's Entourage. We'll talk about Entourage.
Yeah.
A lot of movies out next week. Insidious Chapter 3 is one of them, and Spy, of course.
Oh, how fun. We'll talk to you then, Manny. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me ask you a question. If somebody were to offer you a chance to win a house, and all you had to do was write an essay, and you have to pay an entry fee. Are you in? Real estate essay contests, are they a solution to your troubles or are they a scam? You'll hear more about that next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I completely forgot to mention that today is National Burger Day. That's all you need to know, really. That's the point.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
I got a burger thing I gotta.
Do you?
Gotta do. Yeah, right. I got a burger thing I gotta do.
Okay. Have one on us, will you? Thanks. Hey, how are you at writing essays? Good enough to win a contest? Good enough to win a contest where a new house is the grand prize? I don't know. These sorts of things sound too good to be true to me, at least, but I could be swayed. Let's find out more about real estate essay contests with a former talk show host, investigative journalist, home economist, and how-to author, Andrea Reynolds. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi, Phil. Good to be here.
Yes, glad you're here, too. How do these contests work? Is there an entry fee, and how are the winners selected?
Well, let me tell you, this is my third attempt, and I'm about to close the contest due to lack of interest. And one of the
you're running a contest yourself.
I have been. This is actually my third.
Okay.
My first in Erie, Pennsylvania. But I'm happy to talk about the contest in general.
Yeah, so how do they work exactly?
Okay. First of all, there's usually an entry fee. It's anywhere from $125 to $150 each, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I made mine for just $10, thinking this might be affordable to a lot of people who really can't afford to do this kind of thing. But the essay is the most important part, and that's the skill testing question. It differentiates itself from raffles and lotteries, which don't have that skill testing question.
Yeah.
So there should be a website for every real estate essay contest, and it should define all the rules and answer all the questions on the FAQ, and it should also have an official entry form listing all the things that need to be accomplished in order to make the entry valid. And it won't be valid if anything is left off, for instance, an address or a name or the entry fee.
You know what I'm interested in here is because we do see all the time there are raffles for houses and the money's going to some kind of charity and people are more than happy to drop $100, $200 on a two or three raffle tickets at a chance to win the house or one of any number of maybe 100 lesser prizes, in some cases a car or a vacation. And so people don't seem to be skeptical about those things. Why are they skeptical about essay contests?
Because they're held by individuals rather than a licensed charity. A licensed charity has been around, people know the name, and they can check on it, but not an individual. Most individuals like me aren't necessarily very well known.
All right. So is the idea then that the collective pile of entry fees ultimately is equivalent to the amount of money one, perhaps you in this case, might ask as a selling price for the home?
That's true. And sometimes it's a little bit more. For instance, there's the inn in Maine is being run again.
And we had them on the show not too long ago.
Right. And excellent opportunity. And I know that she's asking for more than, because she intends to give $20,000 to the new owner for operating costs.
Right. It's a bed and breakfast, and you get into that business right away. And, okay, now, what? I've got to make pancakes every morning?
Mm-hmm. I used to own a bed and breakfast, so I know what kind of work she's had to do. It's 18 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Now, when you put together the economics of the raffle or the essay contest for this particular house, the $10 entry fee, mm-hmm. what was your math? How many entries did you have to get to make this worthwhile?
Well, 12,500.
And how many did you get?
Two.
Whoa!
Yeah. My local newspaper wouldn't even run the story.
Oh, because so is there that much of a taint on real estate essay contests?
Yeah. And the columnist that I sent the story to, I used to own a PR firm, so I know how to write press releases.
Yeah.
I even knew the columnist. I'd been to his house. He still wouldn't run it.
So what are you going to do with the $20?
I'm sending it back. No, and you have to. I mean, that's the legal thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you want to be known as an honorable person, you have to give every penny back.
Now, weren't you giving people, just for entering, you were giving them something of value, weren't you?
Well, anyone who didn't win the house, who had spent the $10, I was going to give them $20 worth of my e-books. And they could take their pick of 25 different titles.
And you write about home economics and self-help and that sort of thing, right?
I've written books on how to raise money, how to syndicate a newspaper column, how to publish a newsletter, basically how to make money as a speaker, a consultant, or a writer.
Now, when you think about money and psychology, would you reconsider doing this essay contest at $150 or $200 per entry, because perhaps when people see a $10 entry fee, they go, this isn't real. But at $200, they think, okay, that's more of what I expect. You know how it is. People see a bigger price, it's more legitimate.
Yeah. In my community, there are so many people who are unemployed and really having a tough time, and they're often on welfare, can't even afford to rent an apartment. I wanted to make it really easy for them.
Yeah.
And I was also raising money on my own to reduce the number of entries required.
Mm.
I was selling books. I actually have two houses, and I want to sell both of them and all the contents, because I inherited a whole lot of stuff from both of my parents.
Yeah.
So if I could do that, and my intention is to ride around the country in a little RV, speaking and doing other things. So I don't need a house anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? You're not taking the typical route here, because most people would just hire a real estate agent and they'd put a sign out front and let the agent do all the marketing, and the house would be sold in a couple of weeks.
Sure. And I did do that. I actually have taken the real estate classes, passed them, didn't get a license, but I can still sell my own house.
Yeah, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah, exactly. So when I had someone working for me, it was 4 months and only one couple came through.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you got the 12,000-some entries, or however many it was, I forgot the number now, but a lot. If you got all these entries, that means somebody's got to read all those essays.
Yeah, and I can do that.
All right. And then what's the criteria for selecting a winning essay?
Well, the essay that I was asking for was not so much a couple of paragraphs, but rather 10 things I will do if I win this house. So they could just be 10 lines.
Huh.
You know, I will get a dog. I will wash the car every Tuesday. You know, whatever it is. I had specific criteria in my mind, and I had two judges available that were going to help me go through some of the entries.
And give the people the peace of mind that you wouldn't show favoritism to somebody. Oh, there's Becky from down the street. We went to high school together. I will like hers probably more quickly than I would somebody else's.
And I wanted to keep the judges anonymous, because I didn't want them to be bombarded by people who might try to bribe them.
Right. Or their lives may be in danger if they don't select the right essay.
You know, here's what I'm thinking. I think now that you say that it could have just been lines, I'm like, well, I would have been in. It's the word essay that scares everyone away. It scares me away.
I think you have a good point, Greg. Yeah.
Essay, scary word. Can't cope. Ah, scared, afraid.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, I edit books, too, and yeah. I read everybody's...
So will you try this real estate essay contest, Andrea Reynolds? Will you try it again?
Probably. I have another house that I bought across the street. It was abandoned, and I bought it for $99.
Yeah.
And I'm renovating it, and I could do it with that house.
Do you have an e-book on punishment gluttony?
No.
But you do have a new book coming out, and it has a tentative title. It's not out yet, as far as I know. How's that going? What's it called, and what's it about?
Well, for the last 17 years, I've been doing something I call the kindness experiment, and I wanted to see how people would respond if I did generous things for them. And it hasn't been very positive.
Oh.
So I was going to write, and this essay contest will be one of the chapters. So all of the chapters will be about people who acted against their own best interests. And what I want to encourage people to do is open their minds, open their hearts, think in terms of possibilities.
Hmm. And so you have a working title for your book?
I call it Missed Blessings.
Missed Blessings.
Not mixed with an X.
Missed Blessings.
Double S.
Or parenthetically, My Disappointment with Humanity. Perhaps. No, I added that part. You can use it. It's free. Free of charge. I won't charge you an entry fee. Okay. Andrea Reynolds, good luck selling your houses and on your RV tour around the country and continuing to write. We'll look for your book. When it does come out, will you give us a ring, please? We'd love to talk to you about it.
I'll send you a copy, too.
I'd love to read it. Thank you so much for being on the show, and sorry your essay contest didn't work out.
Oh, that's fine. I'm happy about it.
Okay, good. You learned something,
you.
Didn't you? All right, that's Andrea Reynolds, and we'll have her back on the show again. And, gosh, would you enter an essay contest?
Sure, I'd give it a run. I always felt like I could write a good essay.
Yeah, but what if the entry fee was $200?
Depends on what I was going for. Sometimes it's worth it. If it's a $300,000 house, $200.
Have you bought a raffle ticket for one of those luxurious houses that they give away all the time? Have you done that?
Not for a house, but I've bought raffle tickets for all kinds of stuff. The last raffle ticket I bought was actually for a scooter, like a moped.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I didn't win. I was really bummed.
Well, those are worth about a couple grand, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this thing was sweet.
And
a little gas-powered bugger.
Save you some gasoline, too, because you can go, about 1,000 miles on a gallon.
Plus, everybody knows chicks dig mopeds.
I was just going to say, you can't. You're throwing chicks off left and right.
Thank you.
Yep, right. And if you do give a young lady a ride on a moped, it's almost regulation that she wear her bathing attire on the back of that thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to have your Daisy Dukes and then your two-piece top.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go for the first hour of this show. There's more to come, including it's being called a cure for cancer, but there's a trade-off. Would you rather die a slow, dreadful death or survive and live a sad, dreadful life? Plus, scientific evidence that says, go ahead, get hammered and eat a ton of junk food the night before you have to go into work. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, and that's coming up in just a bit.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Come
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, a new breed of personal drone is coming. There's the NBA Finals and the NHL Final. One is set, the other not yet. Either way, we have our opinions. I bet you do, too. The friends are here. Well, not all of them. Aaron Myers has the day off. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here, as well as Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get things rolling for this second hour. And over to you, Greg. I think this story proves that hippies love taxes.
Well, Berkeley. So there you go. Berkeley, yeah. Equal hippie.
Exactly.
Berkeley, California, first city in the nation to institute a soda tax. The soda tax went into effect in March, and the concept being, and this is something that's been talked about lately, is modifying the behavior of citizens through taxation, right?
Yeah.
So they want us to be healthier, so they're going to tax soda.
Punitive
right.
Tax.
Exactly.
Syntax.
Syntax. Same thing like on cigarettes and stuff like that.
Sure.
So let's start taxing sugary beverages, not just soda, but sugar-sweetened beverages, iced teas, lemonades.
Because in theory, there's a cost to society. If you get obese and diabetic, you're going to go into the hospital, and society ultimately has to pay a piece of the price tag.
Right, exactly. So it's ultimately better for all of us. It's better bottom line, right?
That's the theory.
So, anyone want to venture a guess as to how much soda consumption went down in Berkeley for the first month of the soda tax?
Well, Berkeley, I bet people just swore off of soda. There are plenty of other things they could drink. Tea, for instance.
No, tea's taxed also.
Is it? Yeah, yes. But if it's sweetened, it is.
If it's sweetened tea, yes.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Non-sweetened tea.
Yeah, diet sodas, no-calorie beverages are not taxed.
Yeah.
So you would think that the consumption of soda would just plummet, right?
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
At least 50%.
Yes, easily 50%, maybe more.
You are so wrong. It stayed exactly the same, and Berkeley managed to collect $116,000 in the first month of the soda tax.
Wow. And so that we're talking about $1.5 million over the course of a year, something like that.
For a year, yeah. Berkeley has joined the Republican Party, everybody.
Yeah.
They have found an amazing way to make cash.
The only difference is now they will be able to buy a replacement set of those beads that they hang over the bathroom door. You know, the kinds I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't.
Instead of the hookah in the middle of the room,
yes.
so you part the ways of the beads.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right, the doorway beads.
Instead of a wooden door, you get beads.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Come on, Greg.
Just goes to show you can't stop a soda drinker from having their soda.
Work with me. What do you do? Go to the pot church or something, Greg?
I do. It's funny you bring that up. In Indiana, of all places, and I believe it's in Indianapolis, and I'll tell you why. There is, they call it the marijuana church. It's the first church of cannabis.
The FCC.
And, yes. The other FCC, the First Church of Cannabis is pretty happy because they have gotten their tax exempt status.
Mm-hmm. So and because people, they're stoned.
Also, that's why they're happy.
Yeah.
They are now officially, in the eyes of the IRS, a church. And so people can now donate and take the tax deduction. This is according to a guy by the name of Bill Levin, which I point out because as I'm reading his name and looking at his picture, I realize I know this guy. From when I lived in Indianapolis.
No kidding, really?
Yes, I know this dude. So he has opened the First Church of Cannabis to test the limits of that new Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the thing that made all the noise because, like, the pizza parlor said, well, we don't have to serve the LGBT community because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's religious freedom or what have you?
Yeah.
So what he's doing is saying, hey, look, if we're a church recognized by a government agency, the IRS, then when we held this service on July 1st, and we start off with some amazing grace and then maybe a quick sermon by Reverend Bill.
Yeah.
And then the call to worship, which is the time for members to enjoy the holy smoke.
Yeah.
then what's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Is there a problem? So
no
the question
problem.
Is, are the cops going to come in and interrupt the service because everybody's in there, you know, getting high? The Religious Freedom Restoration Act says the government can't substantially burden a person's ability to follow their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
So if you religiously believe
yeah.
that you've been called by the Lord to toke,
yeah.
Are you restricted from doing so?
Will they get busted or will they not get busted?
That's there is the question.
Yeah.
Bill says that, you know, look, when kids at the Catholic Church are going to get some wine from the nice man, they're, you know, it's underage drinking. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Are the cops busting down the door for that?
Yeah. Yeah, they have one of those signs outside the church there, because I know what the first thing should be that they put on there.
What's that?
You know, when they exhort people to come join them for a Sunday service, this one should say, "Get turned up to Bill Levin."
Outstanding.
Spinal Tap reference there for you.
Right, and there's Cheech and Chong up on the wall.
Yeah, right.
Why am I not surprised that as Gonzo's reading the article, he notices that he knows the guy in the picture of the Church of Cannabis.
Where's my friends?
Hey, what's happening, Bill? Yeah. You're in the news, man.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. Bill Levin is his name. I can't believe
yep.
that. All right, well, good. Thank you for that, Gonzo. And so the other day I noticed, Chris, and I understand that you've done some research on this now. We didn't talk about it on the other show, but I meant to. And now is not too late, I believe, because this is going viral like crazy, and it doesn't make any sense to me. People are just basically saying they're looking for a guy named Charlie.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the big viral thing. What is it exactly?
It's huge. Teens everywhere are playing this game. It's called the Charlie Challenge. Have you heard of this, Gonzo?
No idea what this is.
All right. Well, I'm gonna tell you about it right now. Teens everywhere being haunted by this new viral phenomenon. What it is it's basically a take on the Ouija board.
The Ouija board.
Are you trying to say Ouija?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. The goal is to summon the Mexican demon, Charlie. Yeah, and I think that he's a Mexican demon because of some affirmative action thing. There's already so many white demons and Asian demons.
You know, when I was in Indiana, I knew that guy.
Mexican Charlie?
Yeah.
No, all the white demons.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Here's how it works. You take a piece of paper out of your notebook.
Yeah.
You draw a cross, breaking it into four equal sections in the upper left-hand corner and lower right-hand corner.
You doing this, Gonzo?
Do I tear the paper or I just draw?
Nope. Just a normal 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Draw a cross, breaking it into four equal sections.
Four. Okay, all right.
In the upper left and lower right, you write yes and yes. And in the upper right and lower left, you write no and no. So across the top, a yes and a no. Bottom, no
yes,
and yes.
No. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Yep. Okay.
All right. Now what you do is you take a number two pencil and stick it on the horizontal line, and then stick another number two pencil on the vertical line sitting on top of the other pencil. If you guys want to see what this looks like, we have it on film here in studio. We've set up a Charlie board.
Hopefully you're watching live.
Short on pencils, but okay. All right.
Now, what you have to do then, and Phil, please watch the pencils, is you have to sincerely ask the question, Charlie, are you here?
All right, I'm going to ask, because it wasn't listening to you, because you're just explaining.
I just asked it.
All right. Oh, you just did?
Yeah, ask it again.
Charlie, are you here? He's blowing on the pencil, for a moment went to yes, then it went back to no. So Charlie's not here, but we knew that because
Charlie's out of the demo. I don't think he's he's really not. This isn't the show for Charlie.
It's not in our target audience.
Once the pencil moves, you scream like hell, run down the hallway, and then post it to YouTube.
Oh, and that's how it works.
That's how it works.
That's
stupid. Teenagers. If you don't ask Charlie, can we stop before leaving the game? The specter will haunt you. But parents, no need to worry if your kids are playing because they'll probably move on to the next fad in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, give it
now.
Time. Give it time. And speaking of Ouija board, which we always called the Ouija board.
That's what it is, the Ouija board.
But it's spelled O-U-I-J-A. Do you know why? It got its name when the people who created it, and by the way, if you think this is bogus, this comes from Smithsonian. The Ouija board got its name when the people who created it back in the year 1890 asked it what it should be called.
Oh.
Before they knew what it was called,
that's genius.
What should we call you?
They asked the Ouija board, and then the letters went to...
And it guided them to the letters O-U-I-J-A.
That's baloney.
Smithsonian, Greg.
No, they're just buying... That's what they're told.
A reliable source.
Milton Bradley told them that that's... So the Smithsonian's just like, oh, well, yeah, that sounds legit.
Oh,
sure.
Wait a minute. Smithsonian looked that up. Smithsonian just lists its source as Wikipedia. I'm sorry. out.
Yeah, yes. Right. Smithsonian was named by the Ouija board, apparently.
All right.
No, Charlie the Demon came and said, you will be called Smithsonian.
More useful facts for you next on the program. Getting hammered and eating junk food.
Yes.
The night before you have to go to work. Is it a good idea? We have new facts that could be helpful to your life right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends at a.com, and magically you will arrive at our website where you should spend some time. Look around, look at the How to Listen page, and subscribe to the program in any number of ways. And also look at the show fun page. Always a great deal to do there.
You'll learn how to do things like summon Mexican demons.
Exactly. You know what? Coming up in about 15 minutes, 10 minutes or so, not too long from now, 10 minutes or so, Jeremy is going to be on the show, our tech guy. And the folks over at GoPro have come up with just something remarkable. You know who that is. They make those high-quality little tiny cameras that you can attach to your surfboard, your dashboard, or your dog. Or
whatever bro-douche activity you're engaging in, you can capture it and
right.
share it with everybody.
Stick it behind the air conditioning grill at a sorority house. You know,
watch, right. It's on my GoPro.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's film companies filming entire movies on these GoPros
now. TV
the technology
shows.
Has become pretty good.
The sports, your sports channel does it. All the, you know, they use them. They're high quality. But anyway, they have something new coming out that you're really going to be interested in. And
cool.
Jeremy's going to talk about that coming up. Now, a thing you should know, and now it's time for a really bad lesson in life, a bad life lesson. You can go out tonight, drink 10 beers, smoke a pack of cigarettes, and eat $30 worth of Taco Bell. That's a lot of Taco Bell, actually.
Okay, I'm going to do that, Phil. Yeah, thank you for the recommendation.
It's like 1,000 pounds of Taco Bell right
there. And as long as you get into bed at a reasonable time, you'll be fine at work tomorrow. This is a study out of Cambridge University in England.
No, 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 you won't.
Another example of how scientists have a lot of time on their hands.
I have empirical evidence that will refute this. In fact, it's called last night.
Okay, and you don't feel so great right now, do you?
No, no. See, I went with my friend. Yeah. He said yesterday, he says, I'm going to call out of work and you want to come over and hang out. Yeah. And so we went over and we started drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have started smoking and we may have started barbecuing.
Yeah.
And we ate an entire pack of hot dogs, a bunch of frozen pizzas, and an entire huge bag of jumbo shrimp on the grill.
Yeah.
We ate all of it.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up at 3:30 this morning with the worst headache I have had in my life ever.
Yeah, but according to these scientists, they say you could still be productive at work. If you get a good night's sleep.
How often do scientists go hang out with their friends and get stoned in the middle of the day and eat all the food?
Yeah,
how many scientists do you know that do that?
They're probably not the hot dog shrimp combination.
But see,
are we just glossing over the fact that Greg lives life like a freshman in college?
Yeah, we are.
I have a futon and lava lamps in my living room, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, the study also found that being underweight is worse for your productivity than being overweight.
That explains a whole lot of things now, doesn't it?
Yeah. The shrimp and the hot dogs. Certainly.
They were so good, though.
Now, some scientists are spending time trying to figure out things that are good for society, like a cure for cancer. We can't wait for there to be a cure for cancer, Greg. And
funny.
Is there one?
They're actually, it's good that we're here on the show and are able to break the news to the world that they have cured cancer.
They,
science.
Cured.
Cured it. Cancer.
This
done.
Is big news, Greg.
It's I don't mean to gloss over it, but cancer is now successfully treatable.
How?
Here's the deal. researchers, in quotes, have used a modified version of the herpes virus to successfully treat patients with aggressive skin cancer. So I don't know if this is the correct takeaway, but I think that you can kill cancer, but then you'll have herpes, right?
Oh, and visible herpes.
I know. Here's how it works. I'm probably making light of this and shouldn't. What they're doing is they take the herpes virus and they put it into cancer cells. And once it gets in there, herpes, being gross like it is, kind of explodes inside the cancer cells and kills the cancer and also attracts the body's autoimmune system to say, oh, hey, there's some bad stuff going on over here. Let's kill these cells on our own. So it actually kickstarts the body's ability to zoom in on cancer cells and destroy them. I've looked through this entire article without going to the actual oncology website to learn more about it. I can't tell if you end up with herpes or not after you're done. But I would say of the two, cancer or the herpes, would you go with the herpes?
Yeah. Well, see, the skin cancer is going to kill you because eventually it's going to get into your organs and your lymph nodes and all of that. And you're going to die a brutal, dreadful death. But you can trade that off for perhaps a brutal, dreadful social life.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but worth it, right? Couple of blisters. Maybe it hurts when you pee.
I don't know. I'm posting it on our Twitter page, and the hashtag trade-off comes to mind.
About 10% of the patients they treated had complete remission.
Yeah.
So it's a promising sign. Maybe they could find some other virus that's not quite as gross. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. You know what is gross when you look around at some of the ways the high school kids are dressing these days? You know, you see the pants down below the butt,
pull up
the
your
butt
pants!
Cheeks. Yeah, exactly. And and every now and then, some schools put their foot down and they send the dress code home to the parents, and parents just like it, right, Chris?
Depends on what the letter that was sent home to parents said. A Pennsylvania high school could be facing sexual harassment lawsuits over a letter sent to students outlining ceremonial dress codes. And in the letter, it says things like, "It's not a good look to be holding up your pants so they don't fall off," which is...
Everybody doesn't want to see your underwear.
That's the principal of the school right there. Right?
I've always said that, yeah.
And it just gets better from there. Your privates are private and should remain private.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree to that one.
I think that's a fair statement, sure. Mm-hmm.
How about this one? People don't want to be looking at your sausage rolls.
Whoa.
What, you think that one's a little...
That's in the letter home to parents?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
that's why we have the internet. Yeah. So if you want to see that, it's there.
Yeah.
A little sausage rough. Rolls. And how about this one? Remember, you can't fit 10 pounds of mud in a 5-pound sack.
Whoa.
But it sure is fun to try.
Yeah. That's some good advice right there.
Yeah, but maybe a little overstated for an educational establishment to be sending to its students, right?
It sounds to me like the principal has the principal has a sense of humor.
He's trying to connect with the kids. Well, you know what they're saying.
What was the reaction by the parents, Chris?
Outrage, Phil. Just animated outrage. Yeah. School officials released a statement saying they are looking into the letter, which was drafted many years ago, and that it was they're sure it was meant to be in jest.
Was it drafted by a high school senior?
Yes, either that or one of the teachers with living the lifestyle of Greg.
Yeah.
Oh. And it also was like, P.S., get off my lawn!
Yeah, the lifestyle of Greg.
Yes.
Yeah. All
join
right.
me in my cult.
I'm in. Where do I sign up?
Yeah. Hey, you know what I have? I have the top 20 one-hit wonders of 90s alternative rock.
Oh, yeah.
Let's play.
That's my wheelhouse.
Awesome.
All right. We're not going to play the songs because you've heard them one too many times already. Number 20, Sister by the Nixons. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that one.
Me neither.
You use the word hit.
Yeah.
Could we just get to 10?
Here's an interesting one. Considering, Greg, yours and my disc jockey pedigree.
That's right, Phil.
Number 19 is Silent Lucidity by Queensryche.
Wow.
That was apparently their only hit song, when you just look at it from a song point of view. Flood by Jars of Clay. Popular by Not a Surf.
Oh, good one. Yeah, good song.
Bound for the Floor, Local H. Pepper by the Butthole Surfers.
That's
a good one. That's the name of the band. Cumbersome by 7 Mary 3.
Cucumbersome, as we call it.
Yes. Far Behind, Candlebox. Possum Kingdom by the Toadies.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one where he takes the girl out behind the boathouse and kills her, right?
Yeah, there's actually a lake called Possum Kingdom in Texas, and it was written on that lake.
Be My Angel is what what I thought the song was called. The Freshman is by the Verve Pipe. Counting Blue Cars, Dishwalla.
Mm-hmm.
In the Meantime, Space Hog. You Get What You Give, New Radicals. We're up to number 7 now, Pretend We're Dead by L7.
You got any guesses?
What, number 6?
Yeah, I mean, what haven't we hit yet?
Yeah, like, can we guess at the top 5?
Here's let me get you 6 then. Closing Time by Semisonic. And now guess some top 5s.
I'm going to say Marcy Playground, Sex and Candy.
That's number 4. All right.
Good.
Anything else?
Greg, your turn.
Oh, we already had County Blue Cars, right?
Yeah, we did.
All right, then what do you got?
Flagpole Sitta. Harvey Danger.
Yeah.
The Impression That I Get, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
What about I Get Knocked Down, I Get Back Up Again?
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
Is that Cannonball?
No.
By the Breeders?
No, but that's a good one.
And No Rain by Blind Melon.
Blind Melon.
That's the number 1.
Huh. I'll be damned.
How about that?
Dang.
Hey, if you think personal drones are cool now, wait until you hear about the next generation. And a well-known company is getting into the drone game. Might convince you to finally hit the launch pad. Our tech guy joins us with all the specs and a whole lot more next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends, and so are you. We thank you for that. It's time to talk tech, and joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech guy, Jeremy Antacuni. Hey, Jeremy.
What's up, gang? How are you?
Doing good, real good, and can't wait to hear your stories today. We know, based on previous conversations, that you love the drones, the personal drones. And there's a company which has become kind of a household name getting into the business. Tell us about it.
They are. Well, today at the Code Conference, Nick Woodman, who's the CEO of GoPro, announced a couple of products, one being something that had been rumored for some time, although unfortunately on the drone product, he didn't share a whole lot of detail other than that they'll start shipping early next year. And as you probably know, lots of drones rely on GoPros for the cameras that they're hanging below them, so it's not surprising to see them getting in on this.
Yeah.
But they did release some information on a new product that will be actually available later this year. It is a 6-camera sphere rig, and so what it does is actually has 6 GoPro cameras positioned around it, and it will allow you to capture full 360-degree video.
Ooh.
It's going to cost about $3,000, which may seem expensive at first, but it really does use 6 GoPro cameras, and all 6 cameras can be removed and used independently. But the cool stuff is what happens afterwards, once you've captured some video. They use a software package called Color, which is a company they acquired last year, and it stitches together the video from all 6 of the cameras into a fully immersive virtual reality environment.
Oh.
So you can actually, you know, look in any direction and see, you know, as if you were in that particular position.
Yeah, so like you would never have to leave the house again, ever.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
We'll just be able to stay inside and never have to go.
Oh, that's great. And you know, you can stick one on your dog, right?
Sure could.
Yeah.
Rig it up.
Wanted to. Sure. Because your dog's always looking around but can't see behind it. I like that.
Get a 360
Does anybody need
view?
To photograph that much information? How many pictures do you need to take?
Hey, look.
Do you need 6 cameras going at the same time?
From the guy who's sitting at home with his buds smoking up and eating shrimp and hot dogs, you have to ask a question like that?
Yes. I think it's fair. F you guys.
All right, fine. Hey, Jeremy, has Yahoo been spying on me?
Probably. I don't know if you use their mail, but if you do, they, of course, are doing something similar to what Google has done for a long time, which is analyze the content of your email messages and then display contextual relevant ads based on the content of your mail. And as it turns out, they may not have received proper permission from their users before doing this. And so a Northern California judge has approved or certified a class action lawsuit against Yahoo that basically says that what they were doing was not legal, and the folks that are making these claims have the ability to proceed with their lawsuit and claim millions of dollars in damages.
Wow. So that's why I'm getting all those ads for Oscar Mayer right now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Now, okay. Are the attorneys over at Google circling the wagons after this?
Well, there was actually a previous attempt last year where Google essentially was doing the same type of thing, but the same judge that just ruled that Yahoo's case could go forward ruled that it was not, you know, there was not enough information to determine if the Google users had already consented. So, you know, the terms and conditions that you blindly click through when you sign up for stuff.
Sure.
It appears as Google's attorneys may have done a better job of outlining what was going to happen, and Yahoo, of course, did not. So we'll see what happens in this particular.
That's why I read every single word of those terms and conditions.
Of course you do.
Oh, I enjoy reading them, too. I have a blast.
I want them delivered on stone tablets. I think it's best.
Right.
Yeah.
You, some weeks ago, Jeremy, told us about something called ransomware. Can you remind us again what that is?
So, yeah. So ransomware is, you know, it's pretty awful stuff. It's essentially like a virus. It gets installed on your computer when obviously you don't want it there. And what it does is it encrypts your files and makes them inaccessible until you pay whoever created this ransomware some sort of ransom to unlock your files.
Yeah, okay. And these are evil people. There's a handful of them in the world that would do this to somebody.
A bunch of jerks. And some of these jerks got the idea that they wanted to make this easier to do. So they've created a website that allows you to sign up. You select how much ransom you want to extort from someone, the message that you want displayed, and you click create, and it just creates a virus for you. And then you can distribute it to whoever you want to be targeting. And when they open it, this ransomware takes over. Their data is encrypted, and it's only recoverable once they've sent you the ransom amount that you've demanded. This
come on, guys. If you want that many pictures of my wiener, then have at it. By all means, they're all yours.
Just ask.
Right.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, typically you would have to hire somebody to do this or, you know, figure out how to do it your own. These guys are making it available for free. So anybody can go to this website, create this virus, and they're providing analytics and other business type services on, you know, how many people install it, what your profits are, and so forth. And what they're doing is essentially handling the financial aspect of it, collecting the ransom, and then allowing you to withdraw it. And so they're just going to take a cut of the ransom that you receive.
Do they pay you in cash or in some kind of like digital
money? It's Bitcoins.
Bitcoin.
It is?
Definitely it's Bitcoin. Absolutely.
Great.
The quote-unquote untraceable virtual currency.
Is this this has got to be a federal crime, right? I mean, don't these people get shut down immediately? Can't we just put a virus on websites like that?
Yeah,
the government?
The problem is that there's a couple problems. One is that it's very likely that these folks are outside the United States. And two, they're using Tor, which is the underground of the dark web, where you know it's not as noticeable as some of the other websites out there. So
Tor, T-O-R.
Yeah, like torrent. Isn't that the key word for most of the like shared file sites?
Yeah, shady stuff.
Shady. We want to ask you real quick, because in our first hour, Chris brought up that you could text a string of words, some English, some Japanese, some Arabic, and you could immediately shut down somebody's iPhone. Are you familiar with this?
I am. So, yeah, there was this vulnerability was discovered this week where if you send a very specific string of text, it will crash the person's phone.
So it's real.
It is absolutely real. It's actually not the first time it's happened. There was an instance where something similar, not the same text, but a similar string of text could be sent to an iPhone, and it would crash the iPhone, I think, a year or so ago. There really isn't a fix other than some hacky workarounds where you have to have the person who sent that text to you send another one to you so that the latest text isn't this string of text. Apple, of course, is working on a fix, but it's not currently available.
I'm thinking if I own an iPhone, which I do not, but if I did, and it was that easy to destroy the product that I spent good money on, that I would have a beef with Apple and say, what, I think you owe me a new phone now.
Temporarily disabling, destroying, I think they're vastly different extremes there. But, you know, there's vulnerabilities and software bugs in any piece of software that's out there. There's been lots and lots of stuff with Android. And I think that we saw a report just a couple weeks ago that something like 60% of the Android software out there contains advertising and malware and so forth.
Yeah.
So we're still better than
right. And let me ask you one more thing that we brought up in the first hour. And speaking of Android, Google talking about making its Google Photos app or its Play Photos or whatever it's called, unlimited photo storage for free. And could you just explain to us again the definition of free in the context of how Google sees it when they provide services to people?
Well, you know, nothing is free, obviously. And so if you're not paying for a service or paying for a product, you are the product. So there certainly is motivations behind what's going on there. So I don't know the full details of how they're using the photos that you're uploading. Chris could probably tell us, since I'm sure he's read that terms of service, what exactly is happening there.
Cover to cover.
But if you're not paying for the service, you are the service. And, you know, they're obviously tracking what you're doing and how you're doing it and so forth. So, be careful when you're signing up for free stuff.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Jeremy, thank you as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
It's been fun. I'll talk to you then.
It sure has. Enlightening. And coming up next on the program, a website that shows how rich you'd be if you'd invested the money you spent on your wedding. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're going to have a little lesson in economics here for those of you who have been married. Greg, have you been married before?
Let me think on that for a bit. Yes! Four times! Four! Not once, twice, or three times. Yeah. No. After three times, I said, no, let's go for four.
How many of those four did you have a full-on wedding?
All to a degree.
Yeah, well, you know, with like an expense.
Three and a half.
Some were simpler, but I think I would say, yeah, three of them were full on, like paid money for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The folks over at Slate.com have come up with a calculator that shows how much money you'd have if you'd taken your wedding budget and invested it instead.
Good Lord. Does this include rings and jewelry, or is this just for the ceremony, the wedding?
No,
and the
whole
party?
Thing, the wedding, the reception, the honeymoon. So if you got married 5 years ago and spent 10 grand, it would be worth more than 20 grand now. So here's what you do, and I did this. You Google the following words. Did you spend too much on your wedding? You'll see the article from Slate. Scroll down, and they'll have a little click. You can click on the calculator link in the story. And I'm on that page right now. So I got married in 1982 one time, Greg. Still married now. 1982, so that makes what? This year it'll be in June, it'll be 33 years. Is that right?
Wow.
So I'm going to put in, it says right here, the real cost of your wedding. How many years have you been married? And if you're not sure, guess, and shame on you. So I put in 33 years. And then it says, how much did you spend on your wedding? So I'm thinking, you know, the wedding reception, the wedding dress, the honeymoon, the whole thing is a little, like less than 20 grand. So I'm going to put in 18 and a half. $18,500.
Okay.
Just for the sake of argument, maybe that's inaccurate. It's difficult for me to remember what we spent.
I bet $18,101.
Okay.
Oh, wait, wrong game. I'm
wrong
sorry.
Game. Wrong okay. game. So now okay. the button says I do. I'm going to click on it, and it's going to show me if I invested $18,500 into the S&P 500 the year I was married, I would have approximately today $746,240.
And you're still married.
Yeah,
you, sir, uh-huh. are a...
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. That's a nice chunk of change, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad I agreed to do the show today, Phil. Thanks. You've really made my day. Really brightened everything.
Always happy to help.
Greg, can Thanks. I come to your fifth wedding?
Yeah. He's the marrying type.
Yeah.
Just is, you know, cook him some hot dogs and shrimp, and he's
a
happy guy.
Hot dogs and shrimp. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, a big sporting weekend. We have the hockey picture coming to a close tomorrow and Saturday with the East and the West, and the NBA Finals are clear now.
They are, as of last night.
Yeah, so who's in that one?
Well, Golden State beat Houston last night up in the Bay Area, and the NBA Finals are set. So now you have, well, really, we're focusing on two individuals, Stephen Curry. What? Go ahead.
Yeah,
you're laughing at something.
I'm just our executive producer, Mike Stark, just put in his calculation. I could tell it on his face.
Oh, for what he spent on his wedding?
Yeah.
Mike somehow had an entire wedding for $478. Yeah, I don't know how he did it, but
he's a thrifty millionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
Stephen Curry and the Warriors will be facing on the hometown king, LeBron James, and the Cavaliers, and the NBA Finals will tip off Thursday, June 4th, which is actually the day after the NHL final has been set for, because they're going to be playing Wednesday the 3rd.
See, the NBA has the finals, even though there's only one of them, and the NHL has the Stanley Cup final, which they insist, because they use the Queen's English, that there's only one final, and so, fine.
I just find it interesting that we started this playoff season off with you commenting on how long the basketball games were compared to how quickly the NHL playoff games were going, and now
it's the other way around.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, but we still have to wait a week for some reason, right? Why is that happening?
I don't know.
That's so all the advertisers can dump a bunch of money into the marketplace.
You know why? It's because they're in cahoots with the Major League Baseball to make us watch boring baseball for a week.
Yes.
Until the NBA happens.
Yeah. You know about the minor league team as well, right? The Kansas Cahoots.
You've heard of yes. I'm a big supporter.
So the Golden State team is a better team, is it not?
They're favored in Vegas, but I think any team that has LeBron James is probably the better team.
Yeah.
He's the greatest basketball player possibly
ever
lived.
And, of course, in hockey, we have the East and the West both coming down to Game 7 in the best of seven. In the East, we have the New York Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And in the West, we have the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Both series tied 3-3, Game 7 finals, Friday and Saturday, respectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, sure is. Nervous time, too. All right, very good. And sometimes, Greg, we see this all the time, and perhaps all too often in the news, where there's a guy who somehow has upset somebody and the police have to show up.
Well, yeah, here's my question. And let me preface this by saying, why does Florida have such an epic ability to be so insane? Again, I try not to think that everybody in Florida is crazy, but I believe they are. And there's a number of crazy people in this particular item. There's this guy, Justin Ray, had a bad day. He's a recovering alcoholic, lost his job, had a setback, starts drinking. His girlfriend catches him drinking, takes the booze away. He says, I'm going to grab a knife and try and kill myself. She freaks out, calls the suicide helpline or whatever, trying to get him help. Because Florida has a thing where the cops can show up and go, well, you're out of your mind. You have to go, you know, 5150. You're going to the, you know, you're getting locked up in a mental institution. So she's trying to avoid that. So she calls the suicide hotline. The cops show up, and they shoot him. Basically, they walk in with assault rifles and kill him.
Well, was he being aggressive?
They say, well, see, they showed up and said to the girlfriend, why don't you leave the room? And then while she was out of the room, they shot him.
This sounds mafia style.
They said that they were threatened, and he tried to attack them. But upon taking the mattress out of the bedroom after he was killed, there's bullets in the mattress, but there's no bullets in the walls or anywhere else around.
And he didn't have a gun.
He had a knife.
Oh, well, sure.
And they had assault rifles.
This is the thing I don't understand. Police officers are highly trained individuals. They are constantly in training. And couldn't you, with two guys, disarm one guy? One cop distracts him. The other cop grabs the arm with the knife and puts it behind him, and he takes him down. And you don't have to shoot him 150 times to disable him.
Obviously, we weren't there. We don't have all the points of the story. But if you are two police officers with assault rifles and a guy has a knife, you back up from the guy with the knife, right?
Yes.
And you say, put the knife down or we'll shoot you.
That's what they maintain. They said, and they said they did not. He did not put the knife down, and the quote was, according to one of the relatives involved in this case, they told Justin to drop the knife, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So they shot him because, quote, that's what we do.
Yeah, well, see, again, police officers will get mad at me for just bringing up these questions, and those who support law enforcement, of course, we all do, will say, why are you asking these questions? But I wonder, it's just, the training that they have with put down the knife or we'll shoot you. And I'm thinking, in the foot, right?
Right.
Or in
yeah.
the thigh, uh-huh. not
sure.
not 12 times around the head and neck.
Right. Through the heart or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. And then you see, you know, the 12 police cars with 50 officers with their rifles drawn and the one guy standing on the lawn with his garden hose, you know.
right.
And he points it at somebody and everybody empties their bullet case,
right,
you know, or their ammo and it, into this guy's chest.
I mean, obviously there are issues. There's adrenaline.
I'm asking the question because I don't understand it. Can't they just like throw a big net over the guy and then just and tackle him and take him into the paddy wagon and into the over to the jail?
Yeah, like an Acme cartoon.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
You guys both sound like heavy advocates for stricter gun control.
Not necessarily. It doesn't make sense to me that one guy versus 50 and one guy with one gun versus 50 guys with 50 guns, that it's absolutely necessary for all 50 guys to unload their guns into the guy.
I think it's best if we go chill out, have some beers, maybe some smoke, some hot dogs, and some shrimp.
Yeah.
And the world will be a better place.
Yes,
I agree.
All
I'm saying, man.
I agree. And why don't we leave you with this one? Because ultimately, it comes down to this. If you reduce things down to the bare minimum in life, it really comes down to how much we care about goldfish.
Doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and about our pets. And check this out. Here's a pet owner who looked into his fish tank and saw that his goldfish was having trouble swimming upright. Dude was a little bit sideways, sort of swimming around in a circle. So what did
flush
he do?
Him. Flush him. You flush him is what you do.
Well, you're heartless and cruel. What did this guy do? He created a goldfish wheelchair.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. A goldfish wheelchair. He took some medical tape, wrapped it around the little goldfish's body like a body harness, and then he attached a wine cork to the top of it on a piece of string, and now the goldfish floats upright and swims around in circles and will live at least another week before he will get flushed.
Just would like to get to the bottom of this tank.
Yeah.
If only I could get to the bottom.
Yeah, he's stuck in mid-buoyancy, too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to do to a fish.
It is. Hey, by the way, here are a few of the crazy baby names that at least 5 parents have given their kids last year. Swastik, Ruckus, Sadman, and Billion. Some of the crazy names people are giving their kids.
Those are all crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well,
at least they're not named Gonzo.
And you were crazy for joining us today, Gonzo, but we sure thank you and hope you'll come again.
If you want me.
We love your comments. I'm talking to you now. Contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAFShow, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Listen to us and give us a review on iTunes, please. Thank you. And our executive producer, Mike Stark, doing yeoman's work. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. For Aaron Myers, for Gonzo Gregg and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.